Our scripture reading for today is John chapter 21, verse 15 to 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." And let's now turn to the Lord in prayer before we go into our message. Holy Father, we now pray, Lord, that your gracious work would be active in the preaching of your word. We pray that you would grant illumination to all who belong to you, who are indwelt by your Holy Spirit, who trust in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may accept and understand the things of the Spirit of God, which is your holy revelation, Scripture, the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. So we pray now, Lord God, as you enable us to, please grant us comfort, encouragement, reproof, correction, so that we may grow in faith, in our sanctification, in love towards you, and in love towards one another. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll be taking a break from our series in 1 John this week to consider a passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 15 to 19. I intended on continuing with our series in 1 John for today's worship, but due to certain difficulties I faced in the process of preparing the message over the past week, I thought it best to postpone preaching it until the next time I speak, which is 2 Sundays from today. That way I can better ensure that I've handled the text rightly and have given adequate care to the precious doctrines it teaches. So thank you for your understanding and patience. That's one of the beauties of preaching through a book of the Bible verse by verse, this method of preaching, which is known as expositional preaching. A preacher does not get to pick and choose which text to preach on. A preacher does not have the option to skip over difficult passages. He must preach on whatever passage is before him as he works his way through the book. And this, God willing, we will do when we return to our series in 1 John 2 Sundays from now. The passage of scripture we're going to consider for today is an intimate dialogue which takes place between the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ and his disciple and apostle, Peter. And this famous passage opens with Jesus' question to Peter in verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" What is Jesus referring to when he asks Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" Well, considering that Peter and a few of his fellow disciples had just come in from fishing, some had thought "these" could be referring to the things related to Peter's fishing vocation. The boat, the net, the catch of fish, the things pertaining to the life of a fisherman. And that is one possibility. But could Jesus be referring to something other than Peter's vocation? Well, R.C. Sproul suggests an alternative. This is what he writes. "My educated guess is that as he was asking Peter, 'Do you love me more?' Excuse me. My educated guess is that he was asking Peter, 'Do you love me more than the rest of the disciples love me?' This is why I think that. Jesus taught that to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. The corollary is true. He who is forgiven much loves much. There's a sense in which the depth of our affection for Christ is inseparably related to the depth of our understanding of that which we have been forgiven. Peter understood that of all those surviving, he had betrayed Christ more deeply than the rest. Therefore, in being forgiven, restored, and invited back not only into the fellowship of Christ, but into the ministry of Christ, rather than being dismissed from ministry for the rest of his life for his scandalous transgression, he saw the grace of God more fully than the rest. I believe that was what Jesus was driving at with his question. Based on this explanation, I think it makes sense to understand these to be referring to Peter's fellow disciples. Having betrayed Jesus more deeply than the others, perhaps Peter appreciated the grace of God more deeply than the others. And with that deeper appreciation of God's saving grace, Christ expected a greater degree of love from him than his fellow disciples. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Well, like Peter, we too may be profoundly aware of sin in our past. Maybe like Peter, at some point in our Christian life, at a point perhaps when we thought we were prepared to do anything for Christ, at a point when we thought ourselves strong and overestimated our own spiritual maturity, we fell into grievous sin. Maybe like Peter, we were convicted of our sin by the remembrance of Christ's word and were brought to repentance before the Lord and a life of renewed obedience towards him. Nonetheless, we may find that we are still troubled by shame over what we had done, and as a result, live a life that is prone to sadness and depression. Well, if that describes us, do we realize that the Lord has forgiven our sin and restored us into fellowship with himself for an invaluable purpose? What is that purpose? To show us more clearly just how indebted we are to his saving grace and to magnify our obligation to love him more. Does us no good to ruminate over some past sin and paralyze ourselves with regret. Have we confessed that sin to the Lord? Have we acknowledged that we acted wickedly to dishonor the Lord as we did, and with hatred towards sin? Have we turned from it with a contrite heart and by the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit turned to the Lord in renewed obedience? If we have not, and if our trust is in Christ, then we must. Otherwise, according to Scripture, our Father is displeased with us. His Spirit grieves within us. He reproves and disciplines us. Our own conscience wounds us. And if we persist in an attitude of unrepentance, though we may in fact be his child, our sense of assurance that we truly belong to him is weakened, and the comfort and strength we would otherwise derive from his gospel is diminished. How many Christians who are perplexed by their lack of spiritual joy, peace, and assurance turn to retreats, conferences, and books for a solution, when in reality the root of their spiritual problem is quite simple. They have neglected to confess their sin and repent. But if we have truly repented of whatever past sin has been troubling us, then meditate on the magnitude of the debt God has forgiven us. Set our eyes upon our Lord Jesus, who paid that debt with his blood, and acknowledge from our heart the greatest of love we owe to him, and put away the gloom, the heaviness of heart. Three times Peter denied Christ. Three times Jesus queries Peter's love to him. And so we read from 15 to 17, verse 15 to 17 of our text. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Have we seen more clearly the sheer magnitude of our debt in sin that Christ has paid? Then we see more clearly the love we are obliged to render him. So how then can we express our love to Christ our Savior? Jesus shows us one of the ways that we can. Three times he follows up his question regarding Peter's love to him with a command. "Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." How can we show more love to Christ? Show more love to his sheep. Notice in our text how Christ loves his sheep. "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." My lambs, my sheep, they're his. Not everyone is Christ's sheep, of course. John 10, 27, 29. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." Who are Christ's sheep? Christ's sheep are only those people, as Jesus states, who hear his word, trust him, and follow him. In our series in the first epistle of John, if you remember, we were given three tests that verify a person's claim to trust in Christ. Number one, the moral test. They live repentant lives of holiness. Number two, the doctrinal test. They confess the apostolic doctrines concerning Christ's person and saving work. And number three, the social test. They love genuine brethren in Christ. We are commanded by Christ to love our enemies, to reflect God's beneficent love towards them, wherein he provides them with numerous life-sustaining blessings. So if our enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. Do him material good, should he need it. For this is what our Heavenly Father does for the evil and good alike, by sending them the sun and the rain and providing them the bounty of the earth for their nourishment, sustenance, well-being, and enjoyment. But that love for our enemies is not the same kind of love which Christ commands us to show his flock. the brethren who hear his word and follow him. In Scripture, we are commanded to love Christ's flock with a humble, self-sacrificial love and be one mind with them in faith and love towards Christ. We are commanded to love Christ's flock by laying down our lives for them, just as Christ laid down his life for them. We are commanded to love Christ's flock with brotherly affection and by outdoing each other and showing honor. We read in Scripture that we should give special attention in doing good to Christ's flock. Galatians 6:10, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. As a parent to my 2-year-old daughter, it gives me pleasure when others display care, nurture, and affection towards her. As loving parents know, what is done for their children is really something that is done to them, for them. To see their children blessed is blessing done to themselves. Well, how much more then does Christ take pleasure when love is shown to his own sheep? How much more is God pleased when love is shown to those who are his children? Listen to the words of our Lord regarding his own, his sheep, his children. Matthew 25:37-40. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Who are these? The least of Christ's brothers. Well, we're given the answer in Hebrews 2:11-12. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. Christ's brothers refers to those who worship God in the congregation and sing his praise. Christ's brothers refer to those, as we read in verse 11 of Hebrews 2, those who are sanctified unto God. And earlier in Hebrews 2, they're referred to as the many sons that Christ has brought to glory. In Romans chapter 8, those who are predestined for salvation, those who are predestined by God to be conformed to the image of Christ, are called there Christ's brothers. And as Jesus declares in Matthew 12:50, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother. So the least of Christ's brothers refers to the least of those who hear his voice and follow him. The lowliest of Christ's own sheep. Love shown to them is regarded by Christ as love shown to himself. So as we can see, Christ loves his own flock with a special redeeming love that is not true of anyone else. How then is it that so many who call themselves Christian are not afraid to pour abuse on Christ's flock, to insult his sheep, to slander and mock them, to mutter vicious things about them, to regard them with scorn and contempt? If someone were to treat our own child like this, Would we not be profoundly displeased with that person? Well, how much more would the Lord be displeased if someone were to treat any of his flock like this? How many who call themselves Christian treat Christ's flock like this, all the while craving the friendship, respect, approval, acceptance of the unbelieving world? James 4:4, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. How many who call themselves Christians trample on Christ's flock, all the while claiming to love Christ? Nonsense. As we already learned in our series in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Anyone who hates those in whom is seen the image of God renewed. The image of God renewed in holiness. That is, of course, referring to every genuine born-again believer in Christ Jesus. Anyone who hates those in whom is seen the image of God renewed cannot love God whom he has not seen. That's what 1 John 4:20 is talking about, if you remember. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, those in whom can be seen the image of God being renewed in holiness, it's referring to the brethren of Christ's household, the sheep of Christ's flock, cannot love God whom he has not seen. So children of God in Christ Jesus, who have been forgiven of even the most grievous of sins, let our growing realization of just how indebted we are to Christ's saving work magnify our obligation to love him more. And in love for him, feed his lambs, tend his sheep. We may not be gifted to serve the flock as preachers or teachers, but we are called in Scripture to use his varied gifts to us to care for his household of faith. So meditate and ruminate not on past forgiven sin which we've repented of, but the loveliness of our Lord. See how he loves his sheep and laid down his life for them, so that all their sins may be forgiven. Let us likewise love his sheep, faithful to our brethren, even if it requires us to one day lay down our lives for them, as Peter, in the footsteps of our Master, would go on to do. Verse 18 to 19. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer as we close. Holy Father, we now pray insofar as what has been preached is in keeping with your word, which is perfect and true, which is breathed out from you. Lord, we pray that those who have been predestined to eternal life, those who have been predestined to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, those who have been chosen from before the foundation of the world, those who have placed their faith in Christ Jesus because they have been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit and have been granted a new heart, a living heart towards God to replace the heart of stony, cold, unbelief, and hostility. We pray, insofar as what has been preached in keeping with your word, those of whom all these things are true would listen and would be granted encouragement and strength and motivation for renewed obedience, and most of all, increased love towards Christ Jesus, who laid down his life for us, saved us by the shedding of his blood, paid off in full our debt in sin, so that having done so, we may be reconciled to God and have eternal life with him, to enjoy him and his glory forever. And so, Lord God, as we pray these things now in faith, Lord, please accomplish your supernatural work within the hearts of all who are your flock, your sheep, all who hear the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him and follow him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.